Paige.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad I'm not standing between anyone and their lunch. First thing I'd like to say is I'm Jessica Richard, and my major advisor is Phil Kinkle, who is a chair in cooperatives, which provides most of the motivation for why I am doing a cooperatively owned warehouse versus a non-cooperatively owned warehouse in terms of looking at loading and unloading strategies of cotton bales within that warehouse. So generally speaking, I'm working for Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, although I do not have any funding tied to PCCA, and we're looking at the warehouse that is in Altus, Oklahoma. And just to be specific, this is looking at one warehouse. So at the end of my presentation, the implications and the recommendations, I would be cautious to extend that across any warehouse because this is very specific to what's going on with the current methods used at this warehouse. So that's just my disclaimer. So a big part of my motivation for this is that within the literature at the warehousing level, there's actually not a lot of literature that looks at unloading and loading strategies, but what we do look at as far as economic efficiency at the warehouse level is actually just comparing aisle stacking with block stacking, which I have found out through my connections at PCCA that due to capacity constraints, we actually have to just look at block stacking going into the future as far as what the status quo of this particular warehouse will be in the future. And then naturally following that, large crops are expected to be handled. And so if we're already operating at capacity, we need to get a little bit more crafty and into the nuts and bolts if we're going to be more strategic about efficiency. And of course, classically, in the cooperative form, any benefits that I can find are going to be passed through to those grower owners of PCCA. So what's my objective? What am I trying to do exactly? I'm trying to look at what are some cost-reducing strategies of, like I said, loading a warehouse and then unloading a warehouse. And specifically with loading the warehouse, I'm looking at quality and information-driven loading strategies such as GIN code or account number, any data that the warehouse actually has on the front end, or some ad hoc scenarios, but I'll get into those as we go along. And then with the unloading strategies, I'm specifically thinking about if we're working 20 orders at a time right now, meaning 20 sets of 88 bale orders from each merchant, what if we raise that to 30 orders at a time? What if we raise that to 35? Where does that end? What's the constraint there? And of course, naturally, the constraint is going to be two things. We can't change the bales that are ordered, and we've got a time constraint to work with. So within my data set, I limited to one turn of the warehouse, meaning a completely full 55 shed compound, full to the brim of cotton, but no more than that. I am not including the future dynamics, which could be extended in this study to look at as cotton is coming out of this warehouse and we're replacing it, what efficiency effects lie in that dynamic. I'm limiting it to just one turn of the warehouse, and I think that's really important going forward with the implications of this research. So very important, again, to the modeling is going to be that historic orders are known, and beyond that, I'm not looking too much into more marketing information besides just using what got ordered when in this particular data set. I also know the location of where each bale was stored. I know the quality metrics, although I'll have to point out on the quality metrics, some of these scenarios will be ad hoc because those quality metrics are not actually known at the time that a bale was put into the warehouse, but they are known after. So I will use that in a couple different ways, but in some sense, some of my research is ad hoc. And also, we know the ownership of each bale up to the point of that first merchant. So that's important because we can use and take advantage of account number, which you'll see come up. So what is the procedure in general for our loading strategies? First of all orders are worked, but we did take a sample of shed rows because I fought tooth and nail with a bunch of computers and a lot of programming to try and model this entire warehouse and do the entire sample. And what I mean by shed row, to be specific, is one shed, but one row within that shed. So every row within a shed is a shed row. And I'll be using that terminology throughout this presentation. And so with that, what we do with the program is we actually just simulate exactly what the forklift with a bail clamp on the front end of it would be doing if they got their order fulfillment on their handheld device and they're going into the stack and they're finding a bail, identifying targeted versus non-targeted bails, pulling out those targeted bails, pulling out the non-targeted bails that are in front of that, and then replacing back the non-targeted bails. So there's two touches for non-targeted bails, and we've got to count all that up. So what we do is we model that process, and then we divide the bail movements by the number of bails in each order. So I've got that data to where I know, okay, this was this order, even though it may, you would expect it to be a perfect 88. Some orders have less, so I actually divide by the exact number of bails in each order. And so what I'm going to present to you is the average movements per bail, because that tells a standard story across the scenarios. And I programmed this in Excel VBA, and I definitely have to shout out to Eric DeVise because I, in my proposal defense, was not careful about the way that I said that, but him and I worked very closely together to program this. And so for the unloading strategies, I won't go bullet by bullet in this because it is more or less the same, but instead of for every order in the shed row sample, it's actually now an order sample and a by shed row, doing all the shed rows for each order sample, because on the unloading strategy, what we are manipulating is the number of orders worked, and the only way to do that is to work an entire order. So to limit that programming capacity, I had to go about it differently. So this is my first set of results. So this is exclusively looking at the loading strategies. So the first thing I want to point out is that your baseline scenario has an average number of bail movements of 9.22. That's our status quo. As the warehouse is operating today, this is how many times they can expect to go into a shed row and touch each bale before it is finally removed from the warehouse. So then denoted by the asterisk is each of the strategies that actually reduce that number of touch counts. I call it touch counts, but it's bale movements. And so you'll see that Micronair, leaf grade, trash, and account number, as well as GIN code, all reduce the number of touches to get into that warehouse. So what that tells me immediately is if I had Micronair, leaf grade, and trash before I place that bale in the warehouse, there's an economic benefit to knowing that information. And so the good news, at least for me right now, is that the scenario that reduced the loading strategy, the cost savings from the loading strategy the most was GIN code, which is a piece of information we do have while we are loading the warehouse. So we'll get into what that means for the warehouse a little bit. So this is the presentation of working the unloading strategies. Like I said before, if we're going from working 20 orders at a time of our status quo to then working 30 orders at a time, what we're going to evaluate in this table is how does that average touch count per bale increase or decrease when we go from working more orders at a time. And we're going to do that not only for the status quo baseline, but we're actually going to do that for GIN code because we just found out from the loading strategy that if we implement the GIN code loading strategy, there's economic benefit there. So now the question being presented in this table is what if we utilize not only an optimal outloading strategy, but that inloading strategy as well. So the thing that I want to point out the most here is that somewhat unexpected from my perspective is that the greatest reduction in the number of bail movements per bail actually happens when we do not implement the loading strategy, but instead focus on the outloading strategy of the current loading strategy, that baseline, and just moving to working more orders at a time. So what that tells me as a warehouse operator is I want to focus on working the most orders at a given time that I can before breaking deadlines. And so I guess I would just say that with the current model now, I want to extend and refine the way that I look at the timing constraint such that I can give not only so I went from 20 to 30, and that was an initial guess, But I want to be able to tell a warehouse operator, is it 29, is it 31, is it 32? So further refinement is needed to say exactly how many orders that this warehouse can work at a time. And, of course, that's going to be dynamic, even within one warehouse year to year. So that's just a desire to be precise on my part. So dollars and cents. This is an economic presentation. Where's the dollars and cents, right? So what I can tell you is that in the baseline scenario, under the current strategy of working 20 orders at a time, it costs $1.2 million to move those bales in one turn of the warehouse. And then using the costs of each of these alternative loading and unloading strategies, I just calculated a reduction. So what you see here in parentheses is actually just the reduction from implementing these strategies. So what I would point out specifically is, just like I said before, with the number of bale movements that will directly impact this dollar figure, is that working 30 orders at a time and using the baseline loading strategy actually has the greatest reduction in the cost of handling bales at $356,828.20. And keep in mind, if you multiply that by approximately 3 for this warehouse, that is the cost savings of just being able to work more orders at a time, because there are approximately 3 turns of this warehouse per year. And then, of course, you can get silly with it and extend that over time and figure out how much money are you saving over time by using full information and strategy of working so many orders at a time. So just in general discussion to wrap it up, I did find some quality loading strategies that would implement some cost savings, but they were not as great as the GIN code yet. And also on the unloading strategy side, costs are reduced as the number of orders worked at a time increases. That's to be expected. And specifically to this data set, going up to 30 orders at a time did not break any deadlines. So that's to say the average days it took to fulfill each order was not above 4, which is what, from my understanding, is industry standard, at least for this warehouse, based on the way that they have to comply with their shipping standards. So we can go further and test more sensitivity to raise that number up and be a little bit more critical about the way we calculate that. And then just to reiterate that going from the current strategy to unloading 30 orders at a time was the best. So the general recommendations to the warehouse that directly follows those findings is to load the bales in according to GIN code, but alternatively, if you can't focus on your outloading strategy, then definitely focus on the loading strategy of the GIN code. But alternatively, if you could expend your energy working more orders at a time and trying to figure out how to do that, that is the best, the highest cost savings. And then this is the interesting point and the one that provokes a lot of discussion out of my committee as far as industry acceptance or thought tied around it. So I'll just throw it out here, is that right now we're assuming that a bale was ordered, and that is the bale I'm shipping. No questions asked. That's what is assumed in this model. So my third paper in my dissertation will be looking at the question, what if we can swap bales that are closer to the front or the top for bales that are closer to the back and the bottom, aka if I ordered a bale of quality A that's in the very back of my warehouse that's going to cost me a lot of money to get to, but bale B is in the front and it's within 95% quality, we'll say, of that exact bale that was originally ordered, can there be a market mechanism such that I can swap those bales and use statistical tolerancing and those quality metrics to drive that decision and make the warehouse more efficient by playing with this assumption of what the current marketing status quo is. So if anyone has any thoughts on that, catch me after, because it's going to be the Wild West trying to figure out not only how to model that, because it's more dynamic than what I've already done, but trying to gauge some interest as far as what does the industry think about this. So with that, thank you, and I hope you guys have some questions for me.